Welcome to That's a Chunky. This is Kevin here with James, who is not leaving here worse off. And we are very lucky to be joined by Kif Scholl, who you may know acting across from Will Forte on season 3 of I Think You Should Leave. Welcome to the show, Kif.
Thanks. Awesome to be here.
Thank you. And listeners at home, you might hear we have a very slight delay, but I don't think it's going to get in the way of what we're trying to do today. So just be patient. It might be good to hear a little silence instead of me filling up the air. Typically when we start these, we get a ton of great responses, just sort of finding out what the casting process was like for you, Kif. A lot of people audition for multiple roles. What was it like for you landing this role on season 3?
It's kind of funny, actually. I just signed with a theatrical agent, and so I was getting these kinds of auditions for the first time in my life, and we went right into a pandemic. And so all of a sudden, it's auditions from home, of course, and you have to buy all your own equipment, and and the turnaround is much faster. So I got the audition and I got the sides, and it was just part of the scene. And it was the part where I smacked the back of my head. And I reread this script so many times trying to figure out why the hell am I slapping the back of my head? I was like, is it an I had a V8 moment? I could have had a V8 moment, but in reverse, like, it didn't, in retrospect, I totally get it now. But at the time I was like, why am I mad at somebody? I'm literally just trying to justify this weird stage direction. I actually have the script right in front of me because I want to read exactly what it said. It says, he goes, he smacks the back of his head where his ponytail is really hard so you can hear it.
it's a really great moment in the sketch.
Respect to the brilliant writers.
I love it.
Oh, it's such a funny, I mean, in retrospect, it kills me. It kills me now. But I was like, why does it have to be hard enough that we can hear it? But I'm skipping ahead, but the audition was in October. I'm in like my room with my green screen, and send it off and you don't expect to hear back. But I was like, man, I show is so good. It would be a dream come true. But and I grew my hair out during the pandemic in the hopes that somebody would sing a goofball long-haired dude role that like bikers would not be right for and rockers would not be right for. Little did I realize what kind of role the guy was, but this is why I grew my hair out. So it was like this perfect, opportunity. So I really wanted it, but then I didn't hear back. And so then December rolls around and my buddy, I have a long-haired friend, another dude, and he's like, hey, we're talking auditions. Did you audition for this show where you had to smack the back of your head loud enough that they could hear it? And I'm like, yes, I never heard back from them. Oh, I wanted that so bad. You didn't get it either. No, I didn't get it either. What the hell was that smacking the back of the head thing? We're both like racking our brains. And then the next day they called me and offered me the role.
Wow.
I was like, I clearly had ruled it out by that point. So that was incredible. I mean, especially with the new agent, you want to impress your new agent by booking something cool. This is like for the ages, this show. I mean, my God.
Yeah.
And so I just felt like, if I die tragically in a plane crash tomorrow, at least I was on I Think You Should Leave. Like, I can at least leave my mark on this planet.
So it sounds like you were familiar. You're familiar with the show. Helpful. Were you familiar with the show when you were auditioning?
By the time I auditioned, I did. I actually crammed the whole season. I had not watched it before that because the image of Tim holding the baby with his own head was just repulsive. And I was like, whatever this show is, I don't think I would like it. And thank God for this audition, because then I just binged it and was like, please, please. Now it's one of my favorite shows. If not my favorite show, probably.
So James, I think we have to ask him what is
so
favorite.
Yeah, so they cast me in December, and then, yeah.
No, actually, keep going, and we'll find out what your favorite
is. I was afraid you would ask. I'll try to see if I can come up with an answer. Yeah, so I guess they cast me in December, and then it shot maybe a week or a week and a half later, and then I had to just sit on it for, you know, 5.5 months, 6 months, just because you're not allowed to talk about it. And I just was like, how do I prepare for this moment? This is, you know, I've had some fun roles on Reno 911, and I did a Be Cool Scooby-Doo voiceover. So I've had some really fun stuff, but this felt prestigious. And yeah, so it was a rough 6 months trying to stay quiet. I could keep going. Feel free to interrupt me. I'm a bit of a rambler.
Yeah, we love the rambling. But yeah, I do think knowing that you've watched the show, well, I do want to interject really quickly. When I was looking at your screenshots the whole time, I was wondering whether you had always had the ponytail, because you had so many different looks on your website. So it is amazing to know that you just sort of randomly grew it out during the pandemic. So that was super interesting. I was wondering, but yeah, we do have to ask, as someone who's seen the show, you have to pick a favorite, and no one will judge you. They're all great sketches.
No, really. So do I pick from this season or from all?
You could pick anyone.
Run. I mean, because I think my episode is my favorite.
Of course.
I can't help it. by the way, it's a 10-page sketch. They cut it down to 3. There is so much good stuff that they cut out. And I actually think that it probably lost a little bit of, like, its welcome potential. You know, I hope that it's one of the sketches that they someday release the full thing, because Will, playing the Tim role, Will had this long monologue about people smoking cigars of a certain length and referring to them by how long they take to smoke. Like, Beth, she smokes a 5-hour cigar, but she breaks it up over several hours, over several days. And he's like trapped under a car, you know, while this woman is thumbing through his cigar photos.
Wow.
There's so many funny moments. I have a solution on how to get him untied, uncaught. I'm like, I can get you out of there. And he's like, shut the fuck up. One of the greatest experiences of my life is getting screamed at by Will Forte.
It's funny.
I mean, he's the nicest man on the planet.
Can you tell us what the solution was?
It's a real treat. I stuck my hand in dog shit before we ever got there. He wouldn't let me say it.
Oh.
But it really, I have to say, the thing about the sketch that kills me, first of all, there's 2 long-haired dude sketches in the season, right? There's dog ears guy who gets his hair styled after the wrong magazine or after the ad, and then my sketch with Will Forte. And I was trying to explain to, like, my family, who some of them had never seen the show before, and I was like, somebody in every sketch needs to leave. Every sketch. And in my sketch, Will needs to leave, and then I arrive and I become the guy who needs to leave in his sketch.
Right.
It gets really meta this season. But I really I loved the sketch, and I was really oh my God, the women in the beginning, they saw each other at an event, and there was a concert, and this woman sang, and so at the end of the sketch, there's supposed to be this song that she sings, and that while she's singing, he is still laughing at me and pointing with this underscore of the music.
Amazing.
And he's like, "Did you really stick your hand in dog shit?" It was very funny. And I will say, sticking your hand in a wet, moist brownie in the grass is pretty much the same as sticking your hand in dog shit.
I was going to ask what it was. What was
There's
the
almost no difference.
I wanted to know, too. That was on my list of questions.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, I definitely got the vibe.
Give me a paper towel. That's just nasty.
I definitely got the vibe when I was watching the sketch that it seemed obvious that a lot had been cut. It was still really funny, and I love what they did with it. But
yeah,
I could tell there was way more to it.
Yeah,
so that's interesting that you sort of said that. I would love to see an uncut sketch of that.
Yeah, especially when right, and I feel like I've noticed it in a few sketches. You see actors sort of jump across the stage, like they're suddenly in a new location, and you're like, I walked. Who cares? But what was I gonna say? I lost it. Sorry.
That's
I got
okay.
A little excited. Yeah, the sketches. Yeah, sorry. There's too many. I can't. Oh, well.
That's okay. James, let's
I will
let's
say,
get your perspective.
Will Forte is a saint.
Yeah, I was going to ask about with Will there. So, well, obviously, like, he's incredibly talented comedic actor, but from what we know about the show, it seems like it's very tightly scripted and like tightly directed. Was there someone there kind of like giving directions as you're going, and at editing any script at all as you're doing it? Was there any kind of like, was Will giving any kind of feedback or modifying it as it went, or how did that go?
It's very strict to the script. If you paraphrase, they correct you. And Will Forte was off book for a 10-page script, relatively repetitive, you know, because they like that bit slowly building, you know, and he, I don't think he flubbed a line.
Wow.
Like, just amazing. And it at first, I didn't see Tim at first, but everybody, it was during the pandemic, so everybody had masks on. And I finally noticed this dude wearing like not heel, but Converse sneakers, but in sort of feminine colors, or I can't even remember what they were, but I was like, oh, that's a bold look. And I look up, I'm like, oh my God, that's Tim. All right. Awesome. Great. And it turns out he's the director. And I guess the first AD was interacting with me at the beginning. They didn't really introduce themselves necessarily. And so,
we can edit anything.
So, all right. So, yeah. Awesome. Thanks. So the script was nailed down. The blocking was not necessarily. And so at first I was like, I was on the same sidewalk as them. I like kneeled down and spoke to Will Forte right in his face. And then Tim appears and he's like, I think I want him across the street.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, okay, all right. I guess I'll be far away. I don't get to spit in Will Forte's face. But it was, other than once that happened, it was really like by the books, following the script, the pounding on the sidewalk, that was Will. He was like, you know, should I do something like this? And he just pounded the sidewalk over and over for so long. I felt bad for his hands, like that looked painful. But
yeah.
But he was totally gung-ho. We met in the dressing room beforehand, he was getting his ponytail put on and I was getting mine slicked down. And he was like, how's it going? I will. Oh, you're a ponytail guy. And so he was very kind. We sat around most of the day, and he we were waiting. They filmed it at a woman's house who is both a therapist and a stripper. And so we were in a room with a stripper pole and pictures of her doing like really split leg poses on the, and she's my age, I think. And so she's progressed from stripper pole to therapist, but it was a fascinating, you know, I'm hanging with my castmates in a room with a stripper pole, and they were filming Fred Armisen's scene in the living room. Oh. Of the house that we shot.
Wow.
Outside of, little insider
that's information good. There.
And so we heard the whole Fred Armisen sketch, which was side splitting.
Yeah.
I mean, it just listening to it, it was like a master class in comedy. Fred Armisen was just a freaking pro. I mean, from what I heard. And so that was pretty cool. It had rained that morning, so we were supposed to shoot, but we had to shoot later so that the sun would come out. And so he shot his scene first. He was like, oh, no problem. No, yeah, do it. And so that was pretty sweet. And then I have to say, I'll finish my ramble. We shot all day. By the time we got to my stuff, which was last, the sun was going down. So they actually had to switch from sunlight to fake light for in the middle of my stuff.
Oh wow.
And I did like two takes, and Will Forte at the end of my take, they were like, that's a wrap on Kiff. Will Forte jumped up from his seat across the street, ran over to me, shook my hand and said, if you are so funny.
And amazing.
I washed it since.
And really quickly, we have an enemy.
It's Will Forte. It's MacGruber, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say that it was Will, Tim, and Fred Armisen sort of all within one little area. I mean, that's quite a lot of sketch comedy power to be right there.
There's an old expression, rising tide raises all boats. You could not help but do your best work opposite these actors. Will Forte has been a hero of mine for years, so.
I have a quick question. So obviously you have a real ponytail, and I assumed and you kind of confirmed that Will's was fake. Did you give him any advice about what it's like to have a ponytail so that he could act more naturally with it?
I wish he'd asked. I'm not the kind of actor that can push my agenda. I got to be careful because I'm also a director. I might slip up and give some advice and cross a line. But you know, it is funny. Like I mentioned the two long-haired sketches. They really are like coming at us long-haired dudes, who I'm probably a temporary member of the group, but like. I love my favorite line of the sketch. He's like, do you know him? And he's like, no, why would I know him? Like all guys with ponytails know
each other. I love that.
It's a funny line.
Of course, I play the ponytail guy who's like, oh, been there, done that. It just absolutely slays me.
Yeah, your delivery,
some secret club.
Yeah, your delivery is
look out for each other.
Yeah, exactly. You sound like a guy who like would go to ponytail conventions in that sketch, which is like just perfect for it.
Do you remember what your the first time you saw your sketch?
Yes. Yeah. I was like all over the internet, like what time of day is it going to launch? Are they going to launch all at once? Are they going to launch one at a time? And so I was sitting at my computer at midnight when I realized it was happening, and I was alone. And I was like, I thought it'd be great to like watch this with a big group of people, but it's midnight. I'm not going to wait. And I was crying. I was weeping, like just weeping the whole time, kind of, and then also kind of reeling in shock from the cuts, the major, I mean, a 10-page sketch cut down to three, you're like, my mind was racing, like, oh, they cut that line. I love that line. One of my favorite lines, actually, I had, I can do whatever I want, right? Which has become a meme since yes. then, which is kind of crazy. But the full line is, I can do whatever I want. It's a free country. And that for me was like one of the funniest lines.
Well,
I thought for sure that would go viral, and they got it.
That's... James is actually famous for his memes, and I think that would have been a good one.
Right that there. Would have taken off. I mean, as it is, the line is, your delivery is perfect. And when I was prepping for this, I was looking and I realized that each episode of the show is several sketches, but each episode still has an episode title. And this episode's title is that line, I can do whatever I want, with a period at the end, which I think the period at the end of the episode title really like captures the way you state it in the episode is perfect.
Tim actually directed me. It's his job to direct me, but I didn't know why I was back in the back of my head, and they didn't give me any direction at the beginning because I was off camera. I was just the voice off camera, and so I was kind of doing the Tim Robinson thing, the kind of belligerent, like, go F yourself kind of thing. And Tim comes up to me after I do my first take, which is kind of a medium or maybe the full shot, the wide shot. And he says, that was great. That was great. Let's do it again. I want you to be more self-righteous. Mm. And I was like, I know what those words mean. I can't picture how that works in this context. And I'm just like, don't panic, breathe, you'll get this. This is what you've been training for your whole life. Deep breaths. So I said, so don't yell. And he goes, right. I'm like, okay, all right. And I should maybe think I'm better than him. And he's like, yeah, like that. And I was like, okay. And I'm like, I think I got it. And so I walk off frame. And I walk into camera again and I deliver it. And they're like, great, let's move in for a close-up. And I'm like, did I take the note? Did I do good? Am I okay, boss? And so clearly it was. I went up to him and I was like, am I okay? And he was like, you're great. And so it was really comforting. It was a very positive environment. Supportive. It was really supportive, which you kind of don't expect from a hit show that's so kind of snarky.
Have you been spotted in public by fans of the show?
So yes or no. My neighbors and I have like a little text thread for, when emergencies and stuff happen. And they don't even know I'm an actor. And they were all watching it together. Oh, and so I got this crazy text from my neighbors like, holy mother of Jesus, what? You didn't tell us you're on the greatest show on television. It was pretty awesome.
That's amazing. So now they probably yell at you across the street whenever they see you.
I had a group of... I can do whatever I want. I had some people. I've had some people sort of stare at me, and I can tell they kind of want to say something. And so I'm in that early stage. Also, I wear glasses, and I don't on the show, so maybe they don't recognize me. I don't know. And I pull my hair's not down, then I become a different person.
Actually. True. James, I don't know if you know this about Kif, but he he's a dog lover, and he's designed a strategy game connected to dogs called Dogville. So we want people to check that out. But I also do want to make the recommendation that I don't think we have an I think you should leave strategy game yet. And it could be broad, or it could be particular to this sketch, and sort of like the chance cards could be like you put your hand on dog shit, or the maitre d's already seen the picture, lose one spot or something. I'm just throwing that out there. As an idea.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, it's funny because I've actually created board games for movies, like for my feature. I made a dumb little drinking game for my feature. So it was already, which was like 10 years ago. So the worlds have already collided for me. Now that you've got my juices flowing, I'll get back to you.
I'm ready. Yeah. James, I have most of my questions out of the way. So I want to know what deep ones you have still.
I feel like you covered most of the things I was going to ask about. I guess, so going back a little bit, you mentioned, so you didn't have very long between learning you got the part and then going and recording or filming, I guess. Did you more of the script, and did you have any like prep to kind of like once you saw more about what your role was going to be, like how do you prepare for something like this where the show is so off the wall and you're kind of this character that is could go any number of directions?
Yeah, you know, I when I got the script, I really just tried to like get over the jokes, like not laugh at them anymore, but also like try to understand why they're there. Like some of them are really weird. There's a line that was cut where at one point I sit down on the side of the road, and I grab a dandelion and he's like. And I'm like, as I'm reading the script, I'm like, what? What does this have to do with the story? And my line is like, it's just a dandelion. Like, why is this in the script? And so like trying to figure out ways to like find out how it's funny, make sure that I deliver it in a way for, you know, like find an intention that makes it real for me. Like, why would I be defensive about plucking a dandelion? And then, you know, you don't know it's going to be cut, right? But really was about, like, due to the repetition and a little bit of the mirroring in the dialogue, I worked just like a dog to make sure that I was completely off book. I knew that I was going to be working opposite a celebrity. I really wanted to make a great impression, obviously. And so like the last thing you want to do is appear unprepared. And I have to say, like, I remember like the last take, I messed up one of my lines. The girl, the woman, the script supervisor, she was like, barked my line at me. And I was like, oh, I almost made it in my head. I was like, I almost came across like a perfect actor. It was, like I said, it was a really supportive environment. And so, you have to sort of imagine what world you're going to be in order to sort of create this arc that your brain follows as you're in the scene. And so I had envisioned us in the back, like on a busy street. Like I thought the car had been parked up on up on the sidewalk, like not just the driveway, but like I had this whole other image in my head. And then of course, when you get there, it's not that, but I think that helps anyway, because it gives your your brain sort of a familiar path as you're sort of, you know, when you memorize lines, they just sort of pop back into your head at the right moment. And it's just like we think of a thought. And I mean, not to tell you guys how to remember or whatever, but like, or what it means to actor, but like, when you're thinking of something in the moment, like I'm thinking of these things now, lines become the thing you think of in the moment. And so if you really memorize them and you try to memorize them kind of flat, just sort of without any inflection, that's a really great way to know that you have them down. And then, you know, then you start to color them and imagine what the director might want. I remember I was doing an episode of Criminal Minds and I was like, I swear to God, my character is flirting with this woman, but there was nothing in the script about flirting. But I was like, I'm just going to play with it because maybe they'll want me to do it. And so I go into the audition and I did the looks straight and the director was like, that was great. Could you try flirting a little? And I was so prepared for that, that it was like I booked the part of that moment. Right. I think that trick is to really sort of like explore what could it be and then memorize it flat. And then once you're solid with it, then you start playing. But I mean, I think I probably had, now that I think about it, it was about 4 days. Well, I didn't get the script immediately. So I guess I booked it and then it was probably a week. And then I got the script a few days before. Mm. And I'm like, it's 10 pages. What are they thinking?
I feel like,
although I'm lucky, I have three friends who are in, sorry.
No, please continue.
Let me quick finish the thought. I have four friends. Awesome. I have four friends who are in sketches in third season. One of them is in such a great sketch. I'm going to get his name wrong. I want to say Barley.
Yes.
Barley.
Yes.
It's a news reporter who goes to his phone whenever he loses his arguments.
Yes.
That one absolutely kills me. It is filled with some of the funniest lines I've ever heard. And my friend plays one of the journalists who gives him this beautiful deadpan look.
Oh, I love it.
And then Amazing. Another friend was in a sketch that was entirely cut.
Oh, no.
And then I have two who both got in the same sketch. I know. And then two friends who both got in the same sketch, which is the cigar one. The names always escape me. They're both in the cigar sketch. Mm-hmm. But they're two women in the office meeting at the very beginning.
And driving crooner.
One of their lines, one of them got her line cut and the other one got cut down to one line. So I was driving crooner. Thank you. It's such a great sketch. I was just grateful that my sketch wasn't cut and that I still had lines by the time it made it made it on the air. It's just strange to me that the episode, they're 15 minutes long. Why do they need to cut a 10-minute sketch down when they could easily do 30 minutes, but they know what they're doing. So who am I to, you know, correct them?
Maybe someday we'll get an extended
version.
I think
versions. I went off on a tangent.
Yeah, that'd be really fun to watch.
Oh, I hope so. I've heard they've done that.
Just for a couple sketches, I believe.
I'm trying to remember.
And I think it was at the event they had in LA, James. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think they did some extended versions.
Yeah. I think that's and they screened them there and then never released them, which is like a great frustration of our lives.
oh man,
James, do you have any? I have one final question. I don't know if you have anything you wanna ask before we get there.
My one question is just so you said you grew out your hair like during the pandemic in the last few years. Have you ever gotten it caught in a car while it was parked over a sidewalk, or it was this just pure acting, no experience?
Not in the past few hours.
Good.
Okay, that's good.
I think when you first get, when your hair first gets long, it is the most annoying thing in the world, because you can't put it in a ponytail, and but then it gets really long, then it's like sticky on your back. I don't know how people deal with it. I feel like I have to keep it long now, because I've started something here, but I'm trying to find some sort of middle ground, more my speed. As you see, when you saw my headshots, I could never grow my hair out. It grows out, but somehow I guess I never left the house for 3 years. So,
and
pandemic hair.
Listeners can't tell here, but mine is down past my butt crack. It can have issues. It gets caught SUVs all the time. No, I am joking, but I did have long hair for a period of my life, but not in a ponytail. I just had it wild and crazy.
Wow.
As a youth. I did want to throw this out, Kiv. You've been a lifelong actor. You're like a real professional. In addition to your screen work, you've done a ton of work on stage. For people who are fans of the show, or for anybody, if you had to recommend one of your performances in something else, what would you want people to see you in?
I mean, it would probably be Be Cool, Scooby-Doo.
Okay, I love Scooby-Doo, so I gotta check it out.
Episode was written for me. I mean, wow. it's crazy. Like, we grew up on this thing, and it's still happening. And one of my dear friends was hired to be a writer on the show, to reconceive the show, and he wrote a lead role. And I had literally no voiceover experience at the time. Wow. And I walked into this studio, and it's like all the heavy hitters, like the guy who's been playing Scooby since the beginning, and Fred, the guy that what's his name, Matthew Lillard, was there.
Oh, Kate, wow.
Kate Micucci, and Gray Delisle wasn't there, but she was she was phoned in later, and. And then in my episode was also Lorraine Newman. And so I'm sitting there, and it's like a table read. With we have mics, and we've got scripts, and we're basically like reading the script, like just playing with it. I can't even describe. But like we, in a lot of cartoons, you don't play opposite your actor. You hear their ear and you throw in your lines. But this was all of us reading together. And, you know, like I said, that rising tide, it created this wonderful chemistry. And the script was so funny. And so even though you don't get to see my face, my weird voice is in it, and it's one of the funniest things I've ever done.
That sounds fantastic. Definitely want to. Oh, Kevin, I think you're on. Your sound's not coming through. Sorry.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just gonna say. I think we were talking about Frank Welker, yeah. Who has this crazy voice career. He's done like. Curious George's yes. voice and Transformers yes. voices. I mean, he's like an absolute legend. So that's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's crazy to think that this 70-year-old man is playing Fred.
Yeah.
Or Matthew Lillard, who plays him in the real, you know, who used to play him in the real the live action and the voiceover. And then I love Kate Micucci from her days up with Simon and Garfunkel. What are they called? Garfunkel and Oates.
Yeah, Garfunkel and Oates. Yes. Again, we had some audio. I know people who are listening. We've had some sort of audio delay, but Kiff, you've been so amazing today and forthcoming. I think people are really going to treasure this episode. I feel like they kind of owe you tuition for some of the acting
definitely
advice you passed along. But if anything comes up later, that didn't come through, please reach out to us. We could either have you back on or just give out your information. And we really want to thank you for being here. You were truly amazing.
It has been such a total pleasure. I've been nervous about this all day. I'm really sorry about my weird internet connection. I don't know. I'm sure it's my fault. And so allow me to apologize to all of you who are like, what is it? Maybe it's my earbuds. I don't know. But
no.
Anyway, thank you for your patience.
And all the stuff came through. We really heard all the sort of magic you told us about. So the listeners are very lucky to hear this today.
I was lucky to be here. It's such a pleasure meeting both of you.
Our pleasure.
Thank you so much for being on. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you, Kev.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to That's a Chunky. Yeah, I know we were having weird audio, but he was so good. I just wanted to power through.
Yeah, fantastic. He was a great guest and had a lot of I loved hearing all of his insight about the sketch itself and the process. And it was really interesting hearing his process on preparing for it and preparing for roles in general. Very great. Great to hear.
Yeah, and one of the big takeaways clearly from that is Vinod would probably love the contact info of that therapist / stripper.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's so from his description, it sounded like she started as a stripper and then spent so much time sort of consoling and helping people out part-time in that she decided to go into therapy. So, probably good training.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's overlap in the skills required, and I have no contempt for that person at all.
I couldn't do either of those careers, let alone both.
Yeah. So as you guys know, we've sort of had Threads has entered our world to rival Twitter. And James, are you posting on both still?
Yeah, I'm posting on both, sometimes the same thing on both and sometimes different things on both.
Going a little more left on Threads, maybe?
Well, I feel like the conversation on Threads is a lot more about Threads. There's a lot of, self-referential stuff on there. So.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in case Zuck or Elon Musk kills the other person in a cage match, you can just keep posting on the other one.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. I'm also posting on there at That's a Chunky. I in terms of posting memes, I'm like a solid 0 out of 10. You're just getting straight text from me. I did think I nailed that Elon, you flinch. Now your dad has to marry his stepdaughter. I thought that
perfect.
Was
perfect. Yeah, that was perfect. It.
I'm just going to retire on that one, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are getting to the point. I've sort of a lot of the people I really wanted to talk to from season 3 I've booked and we've talked to. So listeners, if you have somebody you're dying to hear from, I feel like there's a lot of actors in season 3, lot of sketches in seasons 1 and 2 would sort of, I think, focus on one or two actors, and obviously Tim was a lot of them, but I feel like there's a lot of people we could talk to from this season, and we're going to try to get to a lot of them, but if you're dying to hear from somebody, please let us know. I wonder if Kif's friend, who's sketch was cut is legally allowed to talk, because I would love to hear sort of that story. That would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be really, really interesting to hear.
But yeah, James, do you have anything for listeners before we go?
Well, yeah, not really. Although I really just wanted to reiterate or like repeat the something that Kif said about his sketch, which I didn't really pick up on, but is totally true, which is kind of cool, is that the sketch starts out where Will Forte's character is like the person who people like think is out of place and should leave. But then from his character's perspective, Kif's character is the one who like needs to leave and is like ruining things, which it's like, yeah, kind of playing with the structure a little bit in an interesting and fun way. So I was really, I thought that was very cool that he pointed that out, and it totally rings true and makes the sketch that much more interesting, which is great.
Yeah. And I that sketch holds a sort of weird place in my heart, because I live in a small town that doesn't have a ton of sidewalks. I was like the primary caregiver for my daughter for a while when she was very young, because my wife had to go back to work. And we would just go for walks. Like, things weren't easy for her. She really liked to be on a walk in a stroller. And there were so many cars that would park across the sidewalk. And I sort of wish I had the foresight to go under them.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes I'd be in the street and a car would come along very quickly. And it's like, just, you know, great, great disservice to the United States pedestrian community for these people parking across the sidewalk. So,
yeah. And especially bad for anyone with a ponytail, obviously.
You know, you broke the rules. I'm not the one who's going to leave worse off. Yeah. I also want to throw out, I think the line, when he freaks out and then he says, "I thought you said with hurting."
Yes.
I think that's so really funny, because so no one funny. Would ever say with right. hurting.
Yeah.
But yeah, Will Forte is incredibly funny. I always loved him on SNL. He was always sort of offbeat. I think his most popular character was sort of like the politician who was really soft-spoken, which wasn't my favorite Will Forte, but it's clearly very funny. But yeah, I'm excited to think that we might see him continually throughout the I Think You Should Leave universe. Yeah,
definitely.
I'm also like thinking, yeah, from just Kif's sort of on TV performance, and then hearing that he kind of nailed it with very little, very few takes, like hopefully we'll see him back in.
Yeah, definitely. We'd love to see that. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got for today. If you want to read my tweets, I'm on Twitter at Elon Musk. I'm on Threads. I should have said I'm on Threads at Elon Musk. That would have been a more meta joke. That was pun intended.
Yeah.
But that's us signing off. That's Chunky.
Night.
That's a Chunky has always been supported by the Etsy shop of Swayzine, Swayzine. In the past, you've seen his amazing motivational posters, his at the Nighthawks diner featuring characters from I Think You Should Leave. You also know his vintage jazz posters of Paul Bufano, Marcus the Worm Hicks, and Mookie Kramer. Swayzine has a ton of new items in his shop we wanted to let you guys know about. Those three jazz posters have been turned into attractive t-shirts. The Marcus Hicks in blue, the Mookie Kramer in green, Paul Bufano in white. He has a very affordable Bozo the Clown Clown Pewter sticker that you can put on your computer. There is a Baby of the Year bib and onesie. He has Angels and Archways t-shirts, as well as two new posters, one featuring Dangerous Knights, which is being framed and put on my wall, and an amazing portrait of Brian from the hat sketch, the insider trading sketch. But the whole point of me re-recording this ad was to tell you about maybe the most innovative I Think You Should Leave product I've seen in my time doing this podcast, which is actual Dan Flash's shirts. So this isn't like a t-shirt that says Dan Flash on the front. This is a short or short sleeve polo or a long sleeve collared shirt that has the pattern Tim Robinson is wearing in the Dan Flash sketch, affordably priced at $30. I know when I went to the Dan Flash stores at the Creeks, I spent $800 out the door and didn't eat for a long time, saving my per diem. But if you go to Etsy.com/shop/Swayzine. Again, Swayzine is Swayzine. You can own these shirts yourself. And we want to thank Reggie from Swayzine for his support of That's a Chunky.